So let's start. Welcome, I'm Xavier Pilons. I'm program manager in the Microsoft Corporation. Corporation is a Windows HPC group. Today we are going to speak about data intensive computing, highly distributed mechanism. So if you think about the tsunami of data that can come in your data center from any sensors about earthquake, looking for earthquake, or sensors on a volcano, or data logs from web search or from websites. This can generate petabytes of data. In my previous speech, I was referring to the CERN in Switzerland. CERN is going to generate exabytes of data, which is a huge amount of data. The fact is that this data has to be analyzed because this is a real asset, and you want to be able to deal with this data without moving the data always around. And this is the goal of the Triad Link framework that I'm going to present you today. So Triad Link is still part of an incubation project done by Microsoft Research, people from Windows Azure, and people from the Windows HPC group. There's a lot of moving parts in this. The first element is a Windows HPC Server 2008. So for those who were not in the previous session, Windows HPC Server 2008 allows you to deploy, operate, monitor, and schedule tasks on a set of machines, from a couple of machines to thousands of machines, very easily. So we have a job scheduler that monitors the resources and use these resources to execute your program. That can be a single-threaded application, multi-threaded application, multi-machine or mono-machine application. We essentially use a HPC server in that case for cluster management and job scheduling. Then we have Triad. Triad is a distribution engine for executing data flows and across data sets across a very large number of machines. Then we have Link. So maybe if you are already programming in .NET, you know about Link. Link is a language interactive query. It's a .NET extension for languages that allows you to express action on an object like SQL expression. So you can select objects from blah blah, where blah blah, etc. You can use Link for accessing XML data with Link to XML, or SQL data with Link to SQL, or any object with Link to objects. And this is the one that is interesting us, is the Link to objects in that case. And then we have P-Link, Parallel Link, which is coming with now the .NET Framework 4. And P-Link is a way of using the multi-core that you have on your machine and execute your link query in parallel without changing your logic. So it's doing all the plumbing underneath for you. And Triad Link, which bring all this together and provide you an easy programming model to express what you want to do with the data and not how to do it. And we take care of how to do it. So if you look at the software stack, the Triad, the HPC job scheduler, and the HPC server are the execution layer. And then on top, we have your application. You can be any .NET applications, because TriadLink is a .NET component. Then we have TriadLink that will be integrated, that is integrated with Triad and the job scheduler. So the way Triad works is it works through a graph of executions. So we, instead of explaining how to access the data, we use a programming model that lets you express what you want to do. You want to select, you want to do a where clause, you want to group by, you want to sort, you want to filter. And this query at execution will be translated in a graph of execution, and each vertice of the graph will be executed on a cluster on a remote machine for you. And in the query plan execution, we take care of serialization of your code, deserialization of the code, so that you don't need to deploy your application on the cluster. We also have mechanism for data failures, because when you have a cluster with hundreds of machines, thousands of machines, you have to deal with failure. So we manage this for you. So if a task is failing because a machine is failing, this machine will be rerouted, the task could be rerouted to another machine. But then you need to replicate the data and express how your data can be has been replicated in a way that we'll see later. So this can be strange for people, or strange looking at for people writing code, but this is what a Triad job is. It's a directed acyclic graph, DAG. So in our case, we have inputs, and these inputs will be translated in vertices for execution after the query plan execution. And between vertices, we have channels. These channels can be file exchange, it can be pipe, network stream, can be whatever you want of exchange mechanism between two vertices. And at the end, we will have the output as the end, the final vertice, which will produce the final data sets that you want to consume in your application. So how does this graph generation can work? So let's look at a really well-known usage of pipeline. So in the Unix world, we have, if you want to change or to manipulate a data file to produce other data files, you will end it in a way of doing a grep, then pipe it to sed or sort, doing some updates in these files, in this data, and then produce a new output file. So let's think about Triad. Now we'll add a second dimension on top of this. So instead of having 1,000 files for which I will iterate 1,000 times in grep, what I will do is that I will instantiate 1,000 times grep in parallel and pipe the output to X or Y SED, and then pipe the output to the sort and awk. And even if I don't have 1,000 of machines, the framework will iterate across all these remaining tasks to execute. So if I have only 10 machines, I will iterate 100 times until I reach a point to move to the next stage, next level, and so on. So think about Triad give you the scale-out capability of a pipeline that you need to that you want to to apply on a file input, on a data manipulation. So, as a first piece the first piece, important piece in our case is a link itself. So link is a way of iterating over collections. So every collection has an enumerable T inheritance. So with link, we'll be able to iterate, to filter, to sort, to update collections of object in memory object, or SQL Server datasets, or XML datasets, and this is done through providers. So it's really easy to use. It's a lazy implementation, which means that the code is not executed until the first select is done. So in that case, so when you express the query, as long as the final select is done, all the query plan of execution is not finally executed. Which means that we have room for hooking in the middle and do whatever we want to analyze the query plan and distribute the data and distribute the code. So on top of link, we use plink for parallelization. So plink is using really this lazy implementation so that when the query is analyzed by the query plan, as plink knows how many cores you have on your machine, and it knows how the query has been expressed and which object have to be accessed and how they have to be accessed, then you can splint the work in small chunks across your cores. Do the filtering, do the sorting, do the whatever you need to do, and do the final merge, synchronize all of these, and give you the result back without changing anything in your code. As I said, plink is now available in a .NET Framework 4.0, which is shipping with Visual Studio 2010. Plink have been in preview since nearly 2 years now, in a CTP of .NET Framework 3.5 as well. So plink is really a way of focusing on the what and not on the how. It's always, it's like when you move from RDBMS like DBase or Foxbase to a SQL language, to the SQL language. So SQL language bring you the data manipulation and let you express you what you want to do with the data or not how to do. Where in the DBase age you were doing the how. And then we have Dryad link on top of all of this. So this is exactly the same programming model, same programming style. But when the query plan will be executed for your query, what Dryad will do is that it will extract the code from your code, the pieces that are doing the query, build the serialization and deserialization code, move and copy this code where the data is located, because we want to move the computation where the data is living and not the reverse, because we don't want to move petabytes of data. And build this graph of execution, integrated with a job scheduler, execute all these tasks, build the intermediate data sets, synchronize all this, and bring back the result data sets to your code. And all of this is totally integrated with Visual Studio and the .NET language. So we have the type safety, which means automatic serialization and so on. Dried link contains as well query optimization for data locality, multi-core, filtering optimization, selection optimization. We don't want to select twice the same data and so on. So let's look at the Hello World link query. So I have a cluster somewhere as a resource that I can use. And I built a first link query, which is I want to extract from my logs all the lines that are not comments. So basically, I create a log entries collection, which is a var log entries. And from all the lines in my logs collection, so logs is essentially a collection of string. And I want to select lines that are not starting with dash, with pound. And for each of these, I'm creating a new log entry. So as a result, I will have a log entries collection of log entry objects containing string. So when I execute this, there is a first step, which is the query plan generation. So the query plan generation knows how the objects are accessed and what I want to do with the object. And in our case, we have a logs object on which we want to do a where and then a select. After the query plan has been executed, this build a graph of execution. And the graph of execution is passed to the Dryad runtime. And the Dryad runtime will use the job scheduler to submit a job and execute, ask for this task to be executed. Between the query plan and the Dryad, your code has been also serialized so that we can push the code where the data is living. And the serialized and deserialization code is used for being able to move stateful objects across different vertices as well. So let's look at another sample between this from link to Dryad. So this is a really used sample that you already have seen in other presentations. So I want to select babies from a certain name that are born in a certain state and between a certain range of date. I want to order by the born year ascending, and this will produce a baby collection. So this is really simple to write and to understand. So now if I have a 1,000 records, that can be quick on my single core machine. So if I have 8 cores machine, this code is not using the 8 cores machine, it's single threaded. So if I want to use P-Link on my multi-core machine, what I have to do is just simple put as parallel. And this just babies add parallel will be intercepted by the P-Link runtime at the query plan generation. And this will produce exactly the same query, but the same result, all executed in parallel, without changing anything in my code, just expressing the fact that I want to use a parallel. I want to use multicores. I want to execute this in parallel for me. And the runtime will take care of the way the threading will be used, the way the data will be split between all these cores, and the way this will be synchronized and finally merged for you. So now let's move forward to the next step of Dryad Link. So the main difference between P-Link and Dryad Link is that Dryad Link is working on partition table. Partition table is a way of expressing where the data are living. So in my case, I've built a partition table that represents the baby's info, the baby's data sets that are defined in this babyfo.pt file that contains the metadata which explain me, which will explain to Dryad Link where the data are living. But you can see that this is exactly the same link query with very few modifications. So what a partition table is, it's a container for any .NET object. But it's a scale-out container, which means that I will be able to scale this to thousands of machines, thousands of instances. This container derives from, it's a collection, so it derives from I enumerable T, and also as well as I queryable T. iQueryable T is the interface that linked to objects implementation has to implement. And so as a I enumerable and I iQueryable T, then you can use any operator, any method that's coming from iEnumerable. So you can iterate, you can filter, you can select. And what is interesting as well is that all the Dryad Link operators, methods, takes partition table as entries and produce partition tables as output. So that you can pipe, you can link all these across a very deep query. The partition tables is also where the code will be serialized and deserialized automatically for you. So the partition table handles the way how the code will be serialized, deserialized. And the partition table can be also stored, can be any kind of storage. This can be a file, can be stored in SQL table, can be stored in a cluster file system. It's very, very flexible way. So let's look at a very basic partition table. Partition file. So this is a partition file that contains the first line, the base name of my data files. On the second line, 20 is the number of chunks my data has been splitted. And then for each line, I have the number of the chunk, the size, the index on the chunk, on the name of the machine where my file is living. I can have multiple names of machines, which means that if one machine is failing, this chunk of data will be, if this chunk of data is replicated on another machine, and if that machine is failing, my task will be rerouted on that machine as well. So I have a built-in mechanism for high availability, resiliency in the system. So you can see that I can automatically reflect this as a path, a UNC path for data file access, where I have the machine name, the base file name, and then the number of the chunk. This is. And this will be automatically interpreted by and understood by a Dryad Link underneath. And all my 20 chunks will be translated in this path for me, automatically for me. So let's look at another Dryad Link, which is a little bit more complex. tried incorrect. So here is a sample where I have a bunch of weblogs, and I want to see for my account, my user experience, what are the most pages that I have viewed. So which pages I have the most views. So let's imagine I have terabytes of weblogs spread across 10, 20, 100 machines. If you have to do this manually, that's a lot of work to do. And you don't want to upload this in a database as well. You want to have a distributed mechanism in place. So what we are going to do here is that we'll go through all the log files and just keep the lines that are not comments. So we will create a log entries collections for log entries that are not comments. Then on these log entries, I will select all the log entries that ends with experience, which means that I will create a new collection of files that have been accessed by this particular user. Then on this access, for each record, I will create a new object called user page count that I have created somewhere else that basically contains the name of the user, the page key, which is the URL of the key, and the page count. And you see that in this expression, I have a group by. So I will group by the number of pages, like I can do it, the name of the pages, like I'm doing it in a SQL, in a SQL comment. So at the end, I will have a collection of user page count, group by, so user page count, containing all the URLs that have been accessed by experience and the number of times these have been accessed. And at the end, I will filter this with the .htm so that I will get only the HTML file, and I order this by descending count. So this is pretty easy to understand, but how Dreadlink will going to execute this underneath for you. So the first action is that if I have six machines, we spread the log entry generation across these six machines, taking into account that in my partition table file, I have six chunks of the web logs that have been spread across six machines. The second step of the graph is that I am creating log entries from each log. So this is a totally parallel task, just a filtering task. So there is no interaction between vertices, because it's just a filtering of each individual chunks. The third step is the same. It's a filtering of each logs with the name of the user. So all of this can be done in parallel. This next step is interesting, because we are grouping, which means that we need to exchange each vertex, need to exchange to the other machines the subset of data that have been already filtered. And this is done through a hash partition of this in the runtime for you, in the hash partition that will contain each pages and the count across so all the new machines, which means that there is an automatic redistribution of the subset of the data that have been filtered. And this is done through by piping the partition table and through the serialization and deserialization code for you. And at the end, I don't have group by, so it's just a range, because I want to just keep the HTM and ordering this. So there is also communication across machines, but just in a way a range can be done. And then I select the output as a collection for my code. So the query plan generation is where most of the important work is done. So as I said before, Link is a lazy implementation, which means that as long as I didn't select my collection, so if I look here in this code, the last line, as long as I didn't execute the last line, I didn't get any distribution nor execution. So in between the first and the last line, the query plan will be kicked on. And when the query plan is kicked on, it's doing the analyze of the query. So it knows which object has to be accessed and how they are accessed. And based on the partition table, it will the distribution graph of the execution. Is building as well the serialization of the code. And this serialization is also built by getting the loaded assemblies from your code, because you may have created types, your own types. So it's getting all this link of assemblies. Create a dedicated assemblies for this with your code and send this to the cluster in a shared environment. And then he's piping all these actions for you and doing some standard DB optimization, count, data locality, and so on. And we don't want, for example, to do multiple times the same selection and keep in memory all of these. So this is what a partition table can look like. So Dryad Link is also saving a lot of intermediate files that you can look at it. And this will give you the name of the input partition table and the super 1 and super 12 are the two vertex that have been created automatically, and you can see that you retrieve the code that have been written in the previous slides. And this super 1, super 12 are the entry points that will be called by the framework automatically. DryadLink generates as well an XML file. And this XML file is passed to the Dryad runtime. And this XML file contains a bunch of stuff. I just keep the most important one. The first one has the resources. So you can see the resources, a list of assemblies. And the wrapper native info, link to dryad.dll are the runtime of Dryad Link. System.threading.dll is a plink implementation that is used by Dryad Link. Logdemo.exe is the executable of the client executable that were using Dryad Link. And dryadlink0.dll, this is the code that have been assemblies that have been generated by the runtime for you. And all these resources will be shipped to every node that will be used during the job. And then we have, as part of the query plan, all the vertices. With for each vertices, an ID, which kind of input is it? So you can see that the number 0 is the input table. It takes the weblog.pt as a partition table entry. And then after second vertex is a call to the super __ 1 that we saw before, and so on. And you have also all the relationship between vertices and so on. So this can be really complex to look at. This is what the code that have been generated in the dryadlink0.dll.
and you see that the super one is doing in source underscore underscore for the first selection, where we have we are selecting lines that are not pounds. Or this code will be executed. So in this code, you retrieve part of your code. So Dryad has pulled out all the pieces of your code that are doing the query, and put this in a dedicated assembly that will be executed on the cluster for you. So you don't need to take care about the deployment of your code. It's totally automatic. Dryadlink has a set of operators as well. So as Dryadlink exposes collections, you retrieve the standard where, select, select many, and then you have the order group by across across data sets. You can do the classic algebra with union, intersect, exceptions across different data sets, and the aggregation with count, sum, maximize. And there is also a standard aggregate where you can call your own function for each aggregation. Dryadlink has also new operation like hash partition. Hash partition is a way of reshuffling the subset of the data across the machines. So it built a hash key based on the data contained in your object, and reshuffle this to the cluster so that you can exchange and use this partition to do a cross-join, join across data sets that are spread across your cluster. So you have probably heard about MapReduce. MapReduce is very popular. So since Google has released a paper on MapReduce, and you probably know about Hadoop, which is an implementation from open source implementation of MapReduce. So MapReduce is really simple. It's you have a source of sequence of data that you want to map, and based on a key, you will map the data with the key and reduce this to a subset. And it's a really simple implementation for Dryad, because Dryad is much more powerful than just MapReduce. We have all the basic infrastructure to build a simple MapReduce as exposed here, where for this kind of function, if I have a mapper function and a key selector and a reducer function, all these are collections. I can do the MapReduce in these three lines of code. I can select the mapper, group by key, and then select based on the reducer. And we are using a lot of these internally for our testing purpose. So if tomorrow you want to build a MapReduce on Windows, just think about Dryad as an easy framework to build it. This is a much more complex implementation. It's a way of building a very deep query for computing the k nearest vectors in a set of other vectors. So this is something like computing. Clusters. Yes. So in that case, we have the step operator, and the step operator is, you see that the step operator is taking arc variable as input and produce arc variable in output, and the step operator will dynamically update the query for each iteration. So in the loop, we are doing 10 loops on the steps, and at the end of the of the loop, we call the two partition table, and this will create the final query, and with the query plan we'll execute this on the cluster. So it's a really powerful way of building a very strong query in an iterative model instead of having everything written in a static way. So that's a typical US sample. I'm sorry about that, but I have only that sample. So it's about analyzing the baseball pitches. I didn't find any sample with tennis matches. Maybe I have. Or football match. But so here is that the baseball league is providing XML files for each pitches. And so there's nearly 50,000 files. So each pitch is about the speed of the ball, how does the ball have been hitting, which player pitch it, and so on. And then we have also XML files for the players, one file for each player. So this is not a very well organized set of data because you have a bunch of XML files, and in a little bit structured, but not structured the way we want to use it. So, if I want, for example, to compute here the fastest pitch, and who did that? In that case, I need to parse this 50,000. XML files and join this with 6,000 XML files to find the player name. So what we're going to do is that we're going to reshuffle this data in a way I can easily use it in my application. And we're going to do this through a hash partition of the data because we don't want to replicate the data. We want to just section the hash so that we know where the data is located and not moving the data around. So this is the first action is to stage the pitch data in a different way. So in that case, I'm taking as an input the 50,000 file list, and I will create a partition table based on this file list. Then I will hash this file list, this partition table across 20, which is the number of nodes I have in my cluster, in my case. And once the hash will be done, I will select using link to XML. This is the xelement.load. I will select the @bat, and I will select the pitch element. And with these two, create a new pitch entry which contains the pitcher ID and the batter ID and the speed and the speed of the ball. And as a result of this pitches collection, I will recreate a new partition file. And this partition file will be spread across my 20 machines in a way that I can reuse it with XML with a Dryad link as an input in my input collections in a way I can easily select data in it. The second action also is to stage the player data, which is much more easier in that case because I don't need to do a lot of manipulation. I'm just creating a new partition table with the player name in it, with the player object that I have created before, loaded from the xelement.load, which is a link to XML operation. And I create a player partition file with this. So once I have these two partition files created and spread across the cluster, I can use Dryad link to find the fastest pitch in a very easy way. So if, as an input, I will take the partition table from the pitches, And in that, here I will return the count faster speed, faster speeches. So if I have 10 or 100 counts, I will return the fastest 10 or fastest 100. What I can, yes? Max, yes, but then max will return only one. And here I want to return the top 10 or the top 100. But yeah, yes. And this is another interesting operation you can do, because previously I got the fastest pitch, but now I want to join this partition table with pitches with my players. So I want to know which player did the fastest pitches. And this is a way you can join it. So I use the pitches order by the speed, I take the count, and then I join with my other partition table containing the players and do the join on the player ID, and I return the name and the last name of the player who did these pitches. So it's a really, really powerful way of crunching a lot of files and just expressing in your code the way you want, what you want to do with the data and not how to do it. So Dryad Link on the HPC server. HPC server is a execution layer, a distributed execution layer. So Dryad Link will run on your workstation. You use it as a development environment inside Visual Studio. You can flip a switch in debug to run it locally, so that you can troubleshoot this locally and then switch it back to a runtime so that it will be deployed in a cluster. Just after the code generation, the query plan optimization, Dryad Link will create a job on HPC server. And with the number of machines that you are, with the maximum resources it can use at start. The first task is what we call the job manager for Dryad. And this job manager for Dryad will then create one task for each vertice in the graph and create the dependency between the vertices to be executed. So and then after you can use the job scheduler UI and the job manager UI to follow the task execution and the vertice execution. And when the job is complete, the data set is returned back to the client. So there's a bunch of application within Microsoft today using Dryad Link. We have a lot of people using it for analyzing security logs. Also analyzing what we call SQIM data. So when you set up software and you allow Microsoft to collect information about how you use this data, this software, this creates a lot of terabytes of data in our data centers, and we are analyzing these log files by using Dryad Link. You can think about using Dryad Link for image processing. If you have images spread across many machines, you can build an interesting image processing instead of moving the images everywhere. And for machine learning also, we are using it with Bing and for analyzing Bing or for ranking pages. And yeah, this is highly used from Microsoft Research as well internally. And future work will be to have much more query optimization. The more important work is the work that we are going to do on Azure. Dryad Link is a natural extension for Azure. So that if you have data sets stored in Azure, use Dryad Link to analyze these data sets or eventually for science using data sets stored publicly on the internet that you can use Dryad Link to analyze these data, and using Azure as a running machine for analyzing this data with your own logic. And this is the resources where you can download Dryad. So this is still a research project, an incubation project, but you can use it not for production, for your own learning. You can give us feedbacks and enjoy it, please. Thank you. If you have question, I can answer your question right now. No question? Yeah, question. On the baseball on the baseball league website, yeah. So you can probably try it yourself. Yes, exactly, yeah. But the first step was to get the XML files. The second step was to produce on these 20 machines a new partition files that explain where to find the data across the machines. No, the data have been downloaded before. Yeah, so the data, these 50,000 files were available somewhere on a share from my machines. This is possible, but in the pre-steps before the samples I show you. This could be possible as well. Yeah. This is done in the partition file. Hold on. You remember this file? This shows you the locality of the data. In a very simple way. Because this file can be produced manually or by a query in a database, for example. But this is the simpler partition file that you can create. But the other partition files that are created by the system may contain more complex data. Yes. My main data sets have been split in 20 chunks. But I can also replicate each chunk on another machine and have here several machine names and duplicate this part on these several machine names, so that if one machine failed, the task will be rescheduled for this subset of data. So you have automatic resilient mechanism built in the system. Right? No more question? Thank you. I hope it wasn't too complex, too difficult, but for me it was. Thank you very much.